Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. As tens of thousands of protesters continue to pressure the government in Islamabad, the Pakistani political machine is once again under pressure. Demonstrators are accusing the one-year-old government of Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif of corruption and not meeting the needs of the people. Two main groups led by former cricket player Imran Khan and Canadian-based cleric Tahir al-Qadri have merged to put added pressure on the government. But exactly what are the demands of the demonstrators, and is the Sharif government in danger of collapsing? Stay with us as we take a look at the latest coming out of Pakistan on this debate.
Supporters of Pakistan's opposition politician Imran Khan are holding their grounds in the capital Islamabad as talks have failed to bring a solution to the ongoing political standoff. Cricketer turned politician Imran Khan has been leading protests for nearly 2 weeks now, demanding Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif step down. Similar demonstrations have been ongoing in the city, which are led by populist cleric Tahir al-Qadri. He's spoken of a revolution for Pakistan and wants a government of technocrats to be formed. Imran Khan and Qadri accuse Sharif of corruption and rigging last year's elections. To further increase pressure on the government, Imran Khan's party, the Tehreek-e-Insaf, decided last week to resign from the federal parliament and most of the provincial assemblies. The government, however, insists that Sharif is the legitimate premier of Pakistan and must remain in power. The parliament has also rejected what it calls the unconstitutional demands of the protesters. Sharif enjoys a majority in parliament. He became the Prime Minister last June following a landslide victory in Pakistan's first democratic peaceful transition of power. His government also enjoys financial support by Saudi Arabia. Back in May, Pakistan said it had received funds from Saudis to bolster its falling foreign currency reserves and help cement security ties between the two countries. Islamabad has also received financial support from the United States in the past years, with leaked American diplomatic cables saying that Washington even had a hand in the country's politics. U.S. officials insist that they no longer seek to influence internal politics in Pakistan. However, Imran Khan on Thursday lashed out at the U.S. for what he called interfering in Pakistan's political crisis, after Washington said Sharif's government is legitimate. Imran Khan accused the U.S. of only backing governments which are its slaves. So far, Pakistan's military has stayed out of the current political impasse. Government aides believe that the ongoing protests are secretly backed by the military and its spy agencies. This comes as there have been clashes between Premier Sharif and the armed forces over a range of issues in recent months. The protest leaders say they will keep up the rallies until Sharif resigns. The Premier is determined to remain in power. The current standoff seems to be dragging for a long time to come, and there are fears that Pakistan would plunge into further crisis, as analysts have already expressed doubt about the country's stability.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Washington, the Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, Mr. Frederick Peterson, and out of Islamabad, investigative journalist, Mr. Navid Ahmad. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Washington. In your perspective, Mr. Peterson, what do you think are the main reasons behind the massive protests that we're witnessing in Islamabad?
Well, it appears that these protests are outside of the democratic process. They're attempting to reverse an election which was overwhelmingly won, not just a close election, but an election overwhelmingly run by a reformist candidate who was trying to bring good, solid business progress to Pakistan. And in his own way, reform for the benefit of the people, the prosperity of the country, the present and the future of Pakistan. The protesters, however, are arguing for such nebulous terms as democracy while being in the street. We must remember that democracy exists only in an ethereal world if it does not have a practical application. A practical application is under a constitution, which is a contract among the people, which that democracy governs, that agrees to follow rules, the rules of election. And it was a dramatic break with the past in Pakistan to have an actual election, two in a row, where a leader internationally supervised and confirmed that the results of the election were confirmed, was overwhelmingly elected. To put 30,000 people in the street is not difficult. I wonder what those people are doing for a living, because they're being passed out largesse of the cricketer and the cleric who are inciting them to these mass demonstrations. 30,000 people in Pakistan is a fly blink. It's hardly worth noting, and yet it has a potential to turn violent in an attempt to reverse a legitimate election. There are alternatives to a constitutional alternatives to an election, and that is another election. I would recommend that those critics join together in a political party and offer the people an alternative, and then accept the mandate of the people when the people make a clear decision.
Okay, let me turn to Islamabad and get Mr. Ahmed in on this conversation. Mr. Ahmed, your take of all of this, why are we seeing this happen now? The elections were more than a year ago. So in your perspective, what exactly are the protesters trying to accomplish, and why now?
Well, there is a history to it. Imran Khan was addressing a speech, was going for a speech in Lahore on 7th May 2013, and he fell from the crane and he was seriously injured. And then on 9th, he addressed from a hospital bed, and on 11th, there were elections. The electioneering process continued probably till the election day while he was in the hospital. There were serious issues with regard to electoral rolls. There was a military-led or military-supported correction of electoral rolls in entire Karachi, an exercise that should have been conducted in Pakistan. And then the entire process of electioneering did not involve any authority by any law enforcing agency to check and intervene in case of any rigging. On the face of it, Pakistan's elections were the most sophisticated in its history. But when it comes to the results and the actual execution of exercise, we see that a lot has been left to be desired. For example, it's been 15 months and the election results in detail up to the polling station have not been published, have not been declared online, and are not accessible to a common person like me, who has been a journalist for over two decades. So the situation in this backdrop is clearly murky. And the allegations that Imran Khan has been leveling, particularly with regards to the execution of Election Day exercise, are not new. He started very soon after the elections were over and the results started pouring in. The results were changed at the returning officer level. Polling stations, which are a smaller unit of the election process, had a different result. But when they were compiled at the returning officers, and which allegedly were changed, and we have enough proofs through EU-funded and even US-supported NGOs who are observers, they claimed, yes, there were amendments, there were anomalies, there were changes that were conducted, and which basically manipulated the results. On top of it, the whole process of constitutional and parliamentary and, of course, election institutions that are there were used by Imran Khan and other political parties, not just him alone, some independent candidates as well, was exercised, including Supreme Court, which is allegedly said to be a party through its former Chief Justice towards Nawaz Sharif, did not provide any justice to those people who have been challenging the vote. This has been a serious issue with regards to those people who challenged Nawaz Sharif. So this is why Imran's entire logical conclusion of coming here through a peaceful protest builds his case.
Okay. There were, Mr. Peterson, stay with me, please. Mr. Peterson, you had your hand up. You wanted to say something.
1 minute.
1 minute.
30
there
seconds.
There were four
Go
public
ahead,
meetings across Pakistan, and in the last minute, in the last meeting in June, he said that I am going to Islamabad in August. But the government never seriously considered those complaints and never formed a judicial commission to actually investigate the election process.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, you had your finger up. You wanted to comment, sir.
Well, I would like to comment. I should note that I do have a sympathy with the journalist and with those within the profession of journalism as being guardians of the truth and an essential element of any genuine democracy. However, I would note that anomalies in an election are not necessarily evidence of manipulation or an organized corruption whatsoever. In fact, the international observers there, who came from many sources, it is true, while it may be true that there were some NGOs that ironically may have had a critique of the government and were more likely to manipulate evidence themselves in order to reach a conclusion they desired. But the overwhelming number of international observers found the election to be free and fair, and uncommonly so for Pakistan.
Okay.
We should also note the history of Pakistan is of the military intervening in domestic politics. Not once, not twice, thrice, and more. This is a real danger to democracy. You cannot wave a flag of freedom and democracy and then use intimidation or manipulations by a military in an attempt to encourage an overthrow of a legitimate government, constitutionally installed, unique in its history and having occurred twice in a row without this exterior manipulation.
Well, let me get Mr. Ahmed back in on this discussion.
Also,
Mr. Ahmed, Mr. Peterson talked about the military and usually the military being involved in a lot of elections. I want to talk about this particular situation. Do you see the military being involved at all with this situation and encouraging these demonstrations or not?
Yeah, definitely I'll answer the question, but let me clarify one thing. On 7th of October 1999, Washington gave a statement that no extra constitutional change in Pakistan will be accepted against Mr. Nawaz Sharif. On 11th October, Mr. Musharraf takes over, and United States happily worked with Pervez Musharraf ever since we overthrew him in Pakistan. So much about true democracy and Washington, both. Now coming to the question, the context of today's protest has nothing to do with military at the outset. If Nawaz Sharif and his allies had agreed and judicial institution, election commission, were so independent to provide an honest judicial probe in the election process, things would not have gotten this far. Nawaz Sharif himself has backed out. He never took the threat seriously. Probably this gentleman in Washington does not know how Pakistani journalists and lawyers sacrificed for democracy during General Pervez Musharraf's time, whom they were supporting so overwhelmingly. And they were opposing restoration of Chief Justice. Today, the same Nawaz Sharif is ready to give some concessions, but not all concessions. In Pakistan, the electoral process is very different from the United States. And we saw what happened when Al Gore was contesting an election and the way things happened in Florida. There are anomalies in the electoral process and that need to be addressed. Now you're worried about the military, which you always cooperate whenever there is a need to. Military in Pakistan is engaged on three fronts. One, the United States has clearly said in Kerry Lugar bill that there will be no support if there is an overthrow of civilian government. Number two, Pakistani military is seriously engaged in a massive operation which United States has been asking Pakistan for a very long time
to go into Waziristan and carry out that operation. An entire army is committed. On the other side, a United States newly found friend, Mr. Modi, is in power in India, and he is attacking Kashmir line of control and working boundary. Pakistan's relations on the borders are not so good. Pakistan's economic condition is very bad. These three conditions put together do not allow any military to come overtly or covertly in a situation.
All right, the Mr. Ahmed, to the I'm so sorry to interrupt
you.
We have 25 minutes for this program. Let me cross over. I want to get some of our Facebook viewers. Let's check out some of the comments that they have posted.
Imran Khan will win the battle and Pakistan will be free from corruption. Nawaz Sharif must resign. He's a killer of his own nation. They're all the same. I personally want our army to take over. Imran is a popular person, whereas his rival belongs to the land of lords and mafia. The army is going to intervene again. Political leaders will realize that. Go, Nawaz, go. Go to Saudi Arabia. They should listen to each other. They've already suffered enough. There will be a revolution in Pakistan, and the country will get stronger.
Well, what about that, Mr. Peterson? One of our viewers said basically that they are all the same. It really doesn't make a difference. And on the other hand, one of them is saying that Imran Khan will win the battle and Pakistan will be free from corruption. How do you see it, sir?
Well, I think it's rather unfortunate to hear people argue in one breath for democracy, which is a finite institution, has failings as all other human institutions have within itself, and yet among them all, at its best, based on a constitutional order, grants the most freedom and liberty to the people. Arguing on the one hand for a democracy and on the other hand for an overthrow of the legitimate, or at least by many
outside perceptions, a legitimate
democracy. No one is saying
overthrow. I simply say that there should be a probe and Nawaz Sharif should step down until the probe is over. This is completely misinterpretation of what I was saying. I was simply saying what Imran is saying, that Nawaz Sharif should step down for the time period when investigations are taking place so a fair analysis and investigations of elections could happen. Meanwhile, Nawaz Sharif's party members will continue to run the government. There will be a government of Mr. Nawaz Sharif. Nobody is talking about dissolution of National Assembly and Senate.
Okay, go ahead, Mr.
Nobody
Peterson.
Is talking about
Mr. Peterson
PMLN
continue, sir.
Not being there.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, go ahead.
Yeah, but you cannot misinterpret someone who's saying something very different according to your understanding in Washington.
According to my understanding, you have a duly elected prime minister who non-partisan external commissions have found through observers throughout the country won a legitimate election. And you have a rather...
No way.
I won't say a small, but you have a minority who does not like the results of that election and is willing to throw over a democracy on street objections carried to the street.
What about that, Mr. Ahmed? What about that, Mr. Ahmed? Do you agree that it's a small minority?
There is no question of somebody asking to overthrow. I would very humbly say that this gentleman there is interpreting everything as an overthrow. The situation that has been envisaged, agreed by most of the parties here and the stakeholders, is very simple. Nawaz Sharif and his brother, two brothers who are industrialists with good connections across outside Pakistan, should step down because they also killed 15 people in blatant violation of the constitution who were unarmed in Lahore, and there is no repercussion for that on them. Number one. Number two, Nawaz Sharif will himself choose who is going to be the prime minister in the intervening period. Parliament remains in place. There is not going to be any change in parliament until the probe of election is complete. And if 20 oddly selected constituencies are found to be rigged, Then, on the basis of that, mutually agreed formula is that there will be re-election. Now, Nawaz Sharif has agreed to 5 demands, but he is not ready to step down for a month or two. And he is not ready to hand it over to an independent commission.
Okay.
This is where the problem is.
Okay.
I don't understand how Washington thinks it is just an overthrow.
All right,
this
Mr.
is precisely
Peterson,
one
Mr.
point.
Peterson, your we don't have much time. I got to get Mr. Peterson back in on this. Mr. Peterson, how do you see this situation resolving itself? Do you think what we're witnessing now on the ground in Islamabad will actually cause this government to collapse or not?
No, I do not believe it will cause the government to collapse. However, there are, as we can see, very strenuous voices being raised demanding in the street that a legitimately elected prime minister who has already agreed to a number of demands for reform, that he should respond to we won't say violence, but large numbers in the street in order to overturn a legitimate constitutional order, that being his own election.
Okay.
I do not believe this will succeed. This industrialist ran on a sound policy of energy development for all of Pakistan, for civilian over military preeminence.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, sorry to interrupt you. 30 seconds, Mr. Ahmed. We're at the end of the program. Sorry,
growth.
Both of you. Mr. Ahmed, your
yes.
take. 30 seconds,
sure.
sir.
Well, I think Pakistan's success lies in Nawaz Sharif trying to give a sacrifice at this moment and trying to step down on a personal level and let his party rule, let the investigation take place, and let him prove that it's legitimate. There are serious indications of corruption in election, rigging in election, and anomalies, which Washington is probably not seeing, and we are not worried about Washington. This is Pakistan's internal affair, which should be sorted out in Pakistan. And the number of the people on the streets is very large. You can see it with whatever lens you want to see, and there would be more coming out.
Okay.
Nawaz Sharif
like to thank
is
both
losing
my guests
time.
And apologies to both
Nawaz
of you.
Sharif
I'm
is
so
losing
sorry
time.
Because of our obviously limited time in this program. Thank you, Mr. Frederick Peterson, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor out of Washington. And also thank you, Mr. Naveed Ahmed, investigative journalist out of Islamabad. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out right here in Tehran. Thank you and goodbye.